Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Who are you?
Well, I can tell you this. I am the attack dog of the right. The bombastic loud mouth of the South. And it's wet. And it's going to be wet for the foreseeable future here, apparently. This is ridiculous. I mean, it's getting to be like my joke about my long-term forecast. It's going to rain off and on for years. Only more on than off, apparently. 7 minutes after six. Here we go. You're just in time for the bonus hour. Boneheads will be along in this hour. You can be along right now. Ingles Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email, bob@1063word.com. In on the text line, Bobby, Juan Williams needs to go back to the network he got fired from. Yeah, that would be NPR. Bob, I heard Jussie has hired Kaepernick's attorney. So you know what that means. This time next year, he'll have $80 million in his bank account after he sues Fox. Bobby, CBS should replace their news anchor with the inflatable autopilot from Airplane. Bobby, that would be Fox News contributor Juan Ocasio-Cortez that you mentioned earlier. Yeah, he's the one. Hey, Bobby, if Bernie runs with OAC, that's AOC, as his VP, and he dies before she turns 35, what happens? God forbid we ever have to find out. Bobby, Bernie as president, the sequel to Weekend at Bernie's. Bob, thank God Bernie is running again. It gives us all a clear anti-Russian choice for the next election. All right. Bob, don't forget Bernie got a big consolation prize for losing to Hillary. Maybe that $6 million was part of that prize, too. Maybe that's the answer to the previous question. If Bernie runs with AOC, and he should tragic. Well, he's 77 now. So he would be, 78, maybe 79, depending on when his birthday is, when inaugurated, if he were by some miracle to win. If Bernie were to die in office, Hillary would become president. I believe that's the way that works. So it catches me up with the text line momentarily here. I saw this story today, and you know that I keep bringing up these examples of invasions of our personal privacy, as if we have any. It was a crowded primary field, and Tony Evers, running for governor, was eager to win the support of officials gathered at a Wisconsin State Democrat Party meeting. So the candidate did all the usual things. He read the room. He shook hands. He networked. Then he put an electronic fence around everyone there. The digital fence enabled Evers' team to push ads onto the iPhones and Androids of all those attending the meeting. Not only that, but because the technology pulled the unique ID numbers off the phones, a data broker could use the digital signatures to follow the devices home. Well, how nice. Once there, the campaign could use so-called cross-device tracking technology to find associated laptops, desktops, and other devices to push even more ads. Welcome to the new frontier of campaign tech, a loosely regulated world in which simply downloading a weather app or a game, connecting to Wi-Fi at a coffee shop, or powering up a home router can allow a data broker to monitor your movements with ease, then compile the location information and sell it to a political candidate who can use it to surround you with messages. We can put a pin on a building, and if you're in that building, we're going to get you, said Democrat strategist Dane Strother, who advised Evers. And they can get you even if you aren't in the building anymore, but were simply there at some point in the last 6 months. Campaigns don't match the names of voters with the personal information they scoop up, although that could be possible in many cases. Instead, they use the information to micro-target ads to appear on phones and other devices based on individual profiles that show where a voter goes, whether a gun range, a Whole Foods, or a town hall debate over Medicare. The spots would show up in all the digital places a person normally sees ads, whether on Facebook or an internet browser such as Chrome. As a result, if you've been to a political rally, a town hall, or just fit a demographic a campaign is after, chances are good your movements are being tracked with unnerving accuracy by data vendors on the payroll of campaigns. The information gathering can quickly invade even the most private of moments. Data brokers and their political clients operate in an environment in which technology moves much faster than Congress or state legislatures, which are under pressure from Silicon Valley not to strengthen privacy laws. The Real Options case turned out to be a harbinger for a new generation of political campaigning built around tracking and monitoring even the most private moments of people's lives. Said L.A. City Attorney Mike Feuer, it is Orwellian. His office filed a lawsuit against the makers of the Weather Channel app, alleging that app surreptitiously monitors where users live, work, and visit 24 hours a day and sell the information to data brokers. The apps on iPhones and Androids are the most prolific spies of user whereabouts and whatabouts, but they aren't the only ones. How about your TV? In the 2016 election, campaigns began targeting satellite television ads to particular households. That technology was credited with helping Senator Bernie Sanders target voters to eke out a surprise victory over Hillary in Michigan's presidential primary. Now, a person's TV may be telling candidates a lot more than many people would care to share. Some newer smart TV systems, including units made by Vizio, can monitor everything a person watches and send that information to data brokers. Campaigns can buy that information and use it to beam ads that either complement a narrative broadcast by networks such as Fox or MSNBC or counter-program against it. Or a campaign might look for frequent watchers of a particular program, bass fishing championships maybe, or perhaps The Bachelor. Campaigns have long targeted viewers of particular programs as likely to support their positions and have bought ads to air during those shows. Now, however, knowing that a person watches a specific program, a campaign can beam ads to the person's TV that would show up the next time the device is turned on, even if the viewer was watching some other show. The city attorney, L.A., said he was surprised to learn from a reporter that political consulting firms are an eager market for tracking information. It means suddenly a campaign knows whether you're going to a doctor, an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, where you worship, and who knows what else. At a time, foreign agents are commandeering American campaign tools and using them to sow confusion and distrust among voters. The shift toward more tracking and monitoring is particularly concerning. There are a lot of industries buying this data for things that people are not expecting. Some might be trying to get you to buy a Volvo. Others merely seek to manipulate your vote. But none of them disclose what they know about you and how. That is the fundamental problem. People can't find that out. Well, they can't unless we tell you about it. 16 after 6 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Quick break here, and then be right back with more here on the Wet and Rainy Wednesday edition.
Coming out of commercial.
Welcome back.
Back on.
Oh, yes.
Back on.
Here we go. Great to have you along. 6:21 here, the Bobby Mac Show Hump Day Edition. In on the text line. Bobby, I wonder if a Faraday bag would stop him from tracking phones. Yeah, signal can't get through. I don't text or talk on the phone while driving anyway. The only time I do is I've got Bluetooth in the built in the vehicle, so I'll use that. But even that can be distracting. Hey, WORD folks, if you see a dummy with no headlights on, please flash your lights at them. And police, how about stopping these dummies? They're going to kill somebody. They're so hard to see. Bobby, don't you think that Hillary Rodham pantsuit Clinton will run as well? She's been floating trial balloons. Would not surprise me. She's a slow learner, okay? You know, she just doesn't get it, doesn't recognize that her time is past. Oh, is that right? I hadn't thought about this. Bobby Mack, the eligibility requirements for VP are the same as for POTUS, since there's always the chance the VP would succeed in case of death of the president. See 12th Amendment, very last sentence. Cheers. Barbara in Oak Forest. Very well informed. Barbara, thank you for that data. To the phones we go. Katie is here. She is on her cell phone. Hi, Katie, and welcome to the program.
Well, actually, I'm on my cell phone, but I'm parked in my garage so I can legally talk to you.
Aha.
Since my Bluetooth quit.
There. Oh, jeez.
Listening to what you were saying, I caught a good chunk of that piece.
Yes.
On the invasiveness.
Right.
Okay, I have obviously got Google Maps on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm over at Verizon the other day.
Right.
And I get a pop-up for the survey asking me what I thought about the restaurant that's next door. I didn't even know the restaurant next door's name.
Right.
So, and I work at a big box store near your office that shall remain nameless.
Right.
And the days that I work, I'm always getting pop-ups about what my shopping experience was at that store.
And we don't want to mention the name of that store, but it would be, its initials would be either Sam's Club or Costco.
No.
Oh, guessed wrong.
You lose. There's a couple more.
Yep.
But I wanted to point that out because it's like every time I turn around, Google Maps wants me to be helpful.
Sure.
And I'm helpful up to a point, but really?
Yeah, right. And this business with the Weather Channel app tracking you 24/7, 365, when all you wanted was the stupid forecast to know if it's going to rain tomorrow?
Well, heck, I just want to know if it's raining right now, but that's okay. I'm in my garage.
But
I don't care anymore.
But see, this is how they're clever enough to figure, well, what is an app that is most likely to be downloaded by? Oh, weather. Okay, we'll plant it in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I texted you earlier off topic, but about Venezuela. How do the Venezuelans turn their government back to a more capitalistic model? And I'm going to hang up and let you play with that one.
Okay. Thanks, Katie. I appreciate it. One way would be to get rid of Maduro and his cadre of people that are getting rich and putting money in Swiss banks while the people are killing the animals in the zoo so they can have something to eat. Mr. Guaido says that the election was fraudulent and should be overturned. And as the whatever he is, president of the Senate or whatever, he should be the rightful president. As long as Maduro is in control of the military, as long as the military believes that's whom they should support, he's going to be there. And the minute they turn their backs on Maduro, then Mr. Guaido is in, and then they could, have free and open elections? That'd be a start, be a step in the right direction. Good news is hard enough to come by, but we love to be able to share it with you when we can. So here is today's good news story.
Time to feel good. It's Bobby Mack's good news.
You dog lovers out there will appreciate this one. There were two kids under the age of six. They wandered away from their foster home in Florida this past Saturday to chase a rainbow, as small kids are prone to do that kind of thing. Unfortunately, they ended up on the side of a busy interstate. Luckily, two big dogs had gone with them and herded them away from the road and back against the guardrail. When I say big dogs, I'm not kidding. I mean, we're talking big dogs here. They were Great Pyrenees and Shepherd mixes. And then some people driving by stopped to help and call the cops. And we have the audio from that. The source you're hearing here is a police officer's body cam audio. We filtered out some of the highway noise.
Were they on the outside or the
They were on the inside.
They were on the inside, okay. And the dogs were between them and the rail. The dogs okay. would not let them pass the rail.
I got you. But luckily the dogs were scared of the traffic, so that's good.
As soon as I got there, the dogs were no aggression at all out of the dogs. I started petting the dog. We took our belts off to get a leash on the dog.
Oh, yeah.
And the dog stayed between the road and the children. Then we started talking to the children. And we realized one of them didn't have no shoes, and they were wet. So we stuck them in the car, turned the heater on.
We picked them up, and we carried them to the car here from over there.
Okay.
And at that time, I was calling you guys.
What did the kid say? Anything specific?
Hi.
Hi.
How old are you?
5 years old. Dogs don't need to be separated from their children. Them dogs are the reason why
they were not letting those children.
Them children did not get in this road.
Yeah, dogs were not going to let those kids get out in the highway. And you could hear the sounds. I mean, it's an interstate. You heard the sounds of the traffic rushing by. Whew. Good doggies. Good doggies. Due for a little steak. Maybe some bacon. Bacon, bacon, bacon. Coming up on 629 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Speaking of good news. When we come back on the other side, Supreme Court handed down a ruling today. LEOs probably are not going to like it because it cuts off a source of supply for them. But the Supreme Court decision was one that I think you probably will approve of. Certainly everybody on the court did. It was a unanimous decision. To tell you what that's about when we come right back. 6:29 here on the Bobby Mack Show, wet and rainy Wednesday edition.
Work, 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 work.
It's unceasing. And besides that, we're never done with it either. Here in the last half of the bonus hour, the Wet Wednesday edition, I mentioned a Supreme Court ruling today. In a unanimous decision, the Supreme Court today ruled to drastically curb the powers that states and cities have to levy fines and seize property, marking the first time the court has applied the Constitution's ban on excessive fines at the state level. Now, there may be some objections based on that. People may say, well, that's a business of the states and not the federal government or not the Supreme Court. RBG resurfaced. She, like Bernie Sanders, she's staying alive, staying alive. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who returned to the court for the first time in almost 2 months, or her doppelganger, whichever, after undergoing surgery for lung cancer, wrote the majority opinion in the case involving an Indiana man who had his Land Rover seized after he was arrested for selling $385 worth of heroin. Quote, "Protection against excessive fines has been a constant shield throughout Anglo-American history for good reason. Such fines undermine other liberties," Ginsburg wrote. "They can be used as an example to retaliate against or chill the speech of political enemies. They can also be employed not in service of penal purposes, but as a source of revenue." While the ruling was unanimous, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote a separate opinion outlining different reasons for reaching the same conclusion, namely that the right to be free from excessive fines is one of the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States protected by the 14th Amendment. Ginsburg's opinion was based on the due process clause of the same amendment. The Supreme Court, with its ruling, sent the case of Tyson Tibbs, I'm sorry, Timbs, T-I-M-B-S, back to a lower court to decide if Indiana officials went too far in seizing his Land Rover. Mr. Timbs, who bought the Land Rover for $42,000 in January of 2013, was arrested a few months later for selling heroin and pleaded guilty. He was sentenced to 1 year of home detention and 5 years of probation. He argues that the forfeiture of his vehicle was disproportionate to the $10,000 maximum fine he faced for selling heroin. The high court's ruling could now limit the ability for states and cities to carry out what critics on both sides of the political divide say is an increasingly common practice of imposing steep fines and seizing property. His legal team at the Institute for Justice cast the decision as a blow against the practice of civil forfeiture, the legal process by which law enforcement officers are able to take assets from people suspected of involvement in a crime without necessarily charging the owners with wrongdoing. The same group has focused on similar issues for years. I can't think of any other issue that enjoys such cross-aisle support, said Darpana Sheath, a senior attorney at the Institute for Justice. The Constitution's ban on excessive fines, meanwhile, is enshrined in the Eighth Amendment, and while originally it only applied to the federal level, the Supreme Court since the 1960s has incorporated many of those rights at the state level under the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause. Since 2014, more than 20 states and D.C. have enacted laws either limiting forfeiture or making the process more transparent. New Mexico now requires a criminal conviction before any property is seized, and police in Florida need to prove beyond reasonable doubt that property was linked to a crime before it can be seized. Arizona raised the burden on law enforcement to prove property was used in a crime from a preponderance of evidence to clear and convincing evidence, while Mississippi passed a law enacting a slew of provisions aimed at bringing more transparency to the practice. Okay? Meantime, here at 18 before 7, hang on to your hats, folks. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Tweet from Anthony Guglielmi. Who is that? Mr. Guglielmi is the official spokesperson for the Chicago PD. Here is his tweet. Case update. Jussie Smollett is now officially classified as a suspect in a criminal investigation by Chicago police for filing a false police report. Parentheses, class 4 felony. Detectives are currently presenting evidence before a Cook County grand jury. Gulp. A reporter for the local ABC affiliate in Chicago, Channel 7, that would be WLS-TV, here's his tweet, just talked to Northside store security guard Montego Silas, who says the brothers in the Jussie Smollett case purchased ski masks at that store hours before the alleged attack. So where'd they get the MAGA hats? Or is that part just made up, too? That part's probably just made up. Cook County's attorney, Kim Fox, has added yet another twist to the story now by recusing herself from the case. Huh. So the Cook County State's attorney is recusing herself from the case. I think we are left with one conclusion. That smell that is currently in the air, that is the huge dumpster fire that is about to break out in Chicago. Bobby, I trust our state government less than I trust Washington, D.C. It's a sad time of outrageous corruption in our state. Gotcha. Got to take a quick break here. When we come back on the other side, today's edition of Boneheads in the news. Stand by.
McLean.
Welcome back. Closing minutes here on the Hump Day Wednesday edition, Bobby Mack Show. And as we typically do, we kind of wrap up the show today with our regular edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Yes, and we have plenty of candidates for you today, Boneheads fans. You know, it's really bad when cops get into a standoff, but how about getting into a shootout with a stormtrooper? Well, Chips, California Highway Patrol, tried to pull over a Ford Mustang for speeding on Sunday night, but the driver sped off. He wound up pulling over on a side street. He and his passenger bolted, fleeing the interview, ran away on foot. The cops quickly tracked them down, but they noticed there was still one guy in the back seat of the car. Cops repeatedly ordered him, "Come out with your hands up," but he wouldn't move. So the cops slowly approached the car with their guns drawn, found that the guy in the back seat was actually a life-size statue of a stormtrooper. Yeah.
A pursuit on San Diego Freeway evolved into a tense standoff with a mysterious passenger. CHP officers tried to pull over a Mustang for speeding on Interstate 805, but the driver refused to stop. The two men were quickly caught, but another passenger was still in the back seat. With guns drawn, officers approached the car and found a life-size Star Wars stormtrooper doll that was harmless. Officers are trying to find out if the trooper was stolen.
They suspect they were carpooling using the stormtrooper as their passenger. Bobby Mack Crack News team was able to get some of the audio of these guys who were carpooling with the stormtrooper. Can we roll that audio, please?
I'm carpooling with a stormtrooper now. I'm carpooling with a stormtrooper now.
Oh, great.
I'm carpooling with a stormtrooper now. Uh-huh. With a stormtrooper now. I'm carpooling.
Wrong. Yeah, that is wrong on so many levels. Oh, there we go. Meantime, guy in Texas lost his fantasy football league this year, and as punishment, he had to put on a flesh-toned Speedo. I wonder where they got that idea, Moneypenny. They've been listening to the show. Slather himself in peanut butter and hang out at a dog park. Yeah.
It was my first year in fantasy football. I would have to lather myself up in peanut butter, wearing nothing but a gold Speedo.
Nice.
And go to a dog park. My strategy was to do it as fast as possible and hope that not as many people would see me, you know? It took me about 45 seconds to apply it to my whole body. There was a couple walking down the sidewalk and they both said, "Ew!" And they walked by so fast after that.
I bet.
They were so in shock.
Yeah, it was that or pay a $250 fine for finishing last. He said he's probably going to play fantasy football again this year, but believes he's going to find a new league. Can't say that I blame him for that. Meantime, in the land down under, new addition to license plates in one part of Australia.
From March 1, Queenslanders can add their favourite emoji to their number plates with a choice of five different faces: laughing, winking, heart eyes, sunglasses, or just a simple smile. Uh-huh. How do you reckon that would have gone on the police radio when they're, you know, it used to be Foxtrot, Tango. So we've got sexy winking eyes, cash flying, and also women salsa dancing.
It might make the job easier to track them down. They might regret getting the emoji on the number plate in the first place.
I have a feeling this is all going to end badly. We had a real nice good news dog story today. Here's the other end of the equation. A man who authorities say bound a small dog, looks to be a dachshund, bound a small dog with tape and threw him in a Jefferson County, Kentucky ditch last week, believe the dog was spying on him for the police. Okay. Paul Garcia, charged with felony animal abuse and armed criminal action, Authorities say he wrapped electrical and duct tape around the black and brown dachshund's mouth and legs before dumping it. Sheriff's deputy found the dog on the side of the road. The animal was cold, malnourished, and possibly suffering from a concussion. Investigators connected Garcia to the dog after they found fingerprints on the electrical tape. Good for them. The prints match Garcia, who just happened to be in their law enforcement database. Court documents for the first time detail the motive. Garcia told police he found the dog under his truck while he was installing speakers, was worried the dog had a camera attached to him, and was concerned that police were tracking his movements. Yeah. All those charges. And by the way, his bail has been set at 50 grand cash only. Good. Speaking of punch-outs, an Ohio man stunned a courtroom yesterday after he repeatedly sucker-punched his defense attorney just moments after he was sentenced to 45 years in prison. Nice job, counselor. Here you go, chump. Judge Nancy Russo sentenced David Chiselton, 42, on nearly two dozen charges. He pleaded guilty to assaulting his girlfriend, setting fire to an apartment complex. The incident started after he and his girlfriend get into an argument. He set fire to the building's second floor, causing significant damage. Moments after Russo sentenced him in the common pleas court, the man, who was handcuffed from the front, sucker-punched his lawyer, who was standing to his left. Okay. Yeah, I know. It's like Better Call Saul, as he joked. Why did God invent snakes first? He needed, before lawyers, he needed the practice. Yeah, there you go. That is today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
And we wrap up things for a wet Wednesday. Think it'll be wet tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, afraid so. We'll try and dry out the best we can between now and then. See you tomorrow. God bless.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter, every time we say goodbye.
All right, Dan.
Goodbye.
You say goodbye.
What?
And I say hello.
Hello. I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye to you.
Goodbye.
Concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.